You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Season 3, Episode 3 of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle, joined by Brendan King. We got a good one today. Lots to talk about. The Bulldogs went 2-0 this week. They beat a team in St. Louis that could probably lose to some high school basketball teams, and they beat Utah. Talking about Nate Fowler, Henry Badley, but we have to start the show. Last night's game, the Bulldogs ended up winning, but there were some events that happened last night. You know, I was at the game, Brendan. I was enjoying it. It was a lively crowd for a Tuesday night, and Paul Jorgensen was making some baskets, and the crowd was loving it.
He was making plenty of baskets.
I sent out a simple tweet that just said, you know, this is one of those anomaly games that is going to trick Butler fans into thinking that Paul Jorgensen is a reliable player. That's all I tweeted. That's all I said. And then the next thing you know, I am being attacked on Twitter by the Butler fandom. They're saying I'm a troll, that I don't know what I'm talking about, that Paul Jorgensen must have stolen my girlfriend because there can be no other reason for me to criticize his ability. But before I get into this, Brendan, you watched the game last night. You watched Paul Jorgensen. What did you think of the game and his performance?
Well, I saw him have 16 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. I think that's a pretty good stat line for a guy that you're calling out every game in terms of a guy that can't produce. Ari, I think the big thing is that, first of all, you and I both know that if you attack a Butler player, that you're going to get some, you're going to get something else from Butler fans.
Fair enough.
It's that type of fan base. But the thing is, I think that you were so in love with Rodney Clark when he was here as a Butler player, that you expect every shooter to come in to Butler University and be Rodney Clark. I think that's the thing that you envisioned Paul Jorgensen to be, and you want him to be, but he's not producing like Clark is.
No, I envisioned him as what he is, and that was a bench player at George Washington. No, and people came in saying, he's the microwave. And immediately, I think that's why.
One person said that.
Yes, and it made me so angry.
Okay, fine. That's one person said that, but I think you have the impression of McDermott and Jorgensen and other shooters like Kellen Dunham, they have to be like Rodney Clark to be successful.
No, that is not what I'm saying.
I think that's your mindset, though.
No, absolutely not. My mindset is that he's not a reliable player. Brendan, you were right. He had a great game last night. Since McDermott got hurt, he's played well. I'm not an idiot. I realize that he's been playing well. I'm not so blind in my dislike for him that I can't see that. But let's look at what I said. I didn't say he was trash last night. I said he's not reliable. And you know what? I'm absolutely freaking 100% right. Look at his season so far. He's averaging 10 points per game, 2.4 assists, 3.1 rebounds, 43% from the field, 40% from three. Those are very good stats. But is he consistent? Absolutely not. You take away his games against Furman and Kennesaw State, which he blew up. He's shooting 29% from the field. One out of every four games, he'll go off. That's fine, but he's got these four games where he shoots over 50% and five games where he shoots under 30% and several games where he's under 20 and zero. That's not consistent. He had a good game, but my problem with him is that he's not consistent.
I think that has to be answered in Biggie's play. Look, you're 9 games into the year. Past 4 games, he's shooting 50% from three. That shows vast improvement. Look, the season started, we're already over a month into the season, mm-hmm. about a month and a half, okay? So, new coach, whole new system, a Paul Jorgensen that practiced last year under a Chris Holtmann system and then brings on a Lavelle. People forget that he practiced in a Chris Holtmann system last year. That is totally something different to learn. I see great improvement for Paul Jorgensen here. Past 4 games has been in double figures. He had 14 against Kennesaw, 16 against Furman, then Portland State 14, Ohio State 10, St. Louis 11, which is, we'll talk, whatever, St. Louis. But then the Utah game last night, 16 points. I mean, there was one shot he took last night that was like 4 feet behind the 3-point line. He shouldn't have taken that shot. But I like the fact that he's being aggressive. He's one of the few players on this team that is being an aggressive shooter, because Keelan Martin's shooting 22% from three. Kamar's about 31%. The fact that he's shooting 50% from three in the past four, that's vast improvement to me.
I'll give you this, Brendan. I agree that over the last 4 games, he's been good. Okay, and I think the change is he's letting the game come to him. When he puts the ball on the deck and tries to create for himself, that's what I have an issue with. When he sits in the corner, you compared him, he could be Avery Woodson. When he sits there and waits for a pass and waits for a shot to be created for him, he's a good player. When he waits and shoots an open three, he's a good player. When he dribbles and tries to take a bad shot, that's what I have problems with. And he's been good recently. But looking at his past season as a whole, he's had more bad games than good games. Okay, if he continues this streak, I will eat my hat happily. But right now, I cannot go out there and say I can count on him to be reliable because he's too streaky. One great performance out of every three or four games isn't going to do it for me.
Let's see what happens in that Purdue game. That's okay. A big thing I'm thinking for Paul. If he has a good game against Purdue, that's a good sign that he can be successful in Big East play.
He's shooting 43% from the field right now, Brendan.
Yeah.
What do you think he ends the year shooting at from the field? Because at George Washington, he ended the year shooting at like 35% from the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, 37 to 39.
That's not great.
It's not, but like, this was not supposed to be his role. He's only starting because of McDermott's hurt.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
When McDermott gets back, what do we got? 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to take that six-man role again. The first time that I mentioned that Avery Woodson comparison, he was the sixth, seventh man. That's when I first thought that he could start really producing something. Now, Utah's not a bad team at all.
No.
Not a bad team at all. And they're huge. That one guy last night was Matt Stainbrook big. but, I mean, we'll see. You know, you got a big team coming up in Purdue. That's my Paul Jorgensen we'll see game.
Okay.
If he has a good game against
I like that. I think if he continues through the role he did last night and just kind of catch and shoot player, I have no problem with
that. But, you know, we're going to get attacked on Twitter no matter what we say. I mean, it's always a thing.
Yeah, well, that's why I love the Butler fans. They're passionate.
They're passionate.
All right, moving on now. Next player. Brendan, I was texting you about this earlier in the week. Last week on the show, after McDermott got hurt, you mentioned specifically a player who you thought needed to step up was Henry Badley. And you know what? He had a big game against St. Louis, didn't really do much against Utah last night, but I got a comparison for you for a player he reminds me of. And I'm testing your Butler knowledge here because this guy was here before you came to Butler. There was a guy named Sean Van Zandt,
mm-hmm.
who that senior year, he started for the Final Four team, averaged 8 points a game, shot 40% from three. As a sophomore, Van Zandt averaged 3.5 points, two rebounds, and shot 28% from three. Henry Badley is averaging 3.1 points, two rebounds, and 30% from three. When Sean Van Zandt got here, he was squirrely as hell, jumping all over the place, didn't have a jump shot, was kind of known as a defensive stopper, but that's it. Badley reminds me of a 6'6 version of him. He can develop into this great role player. The staff has shown that they're comfortable with him shooting an open three. He's taken six of them this year. I don't think his shot is that far away. I really don't. It's got a funky spin. But if he can get that thing consistently to shoot 30%, which I don't think is tough, I think he could be like a Sean Van Zandt for us.
And what I talked about in the last episode was if he can develop into that slasher that he came in here as being known as, I mean, getting recruited, I mean, he's shooting 90% from free throws right now. That's something I don't think I would have thought at the start of the year. You know, I was sitting with my buddy at the St. Louis game, and he went to the line, and it kind of rolled off like a Rose Jones free throw. Not as dramatic, but I was like, man, that's ugly. But it went in. That's what you always said with Rose Jones, man. Oh, my God. Oh, it went in. Okay.
I mean, at first, it did not. He got it picked up, but his free throws did not go in early.
But if he can keep on getting to the bucket and keep on getting fouled, because if he can develop into that slasher, was Van Zandt much of a slasher?
He was. I mean, he got to the...
I didn't watch him a lot.
He shot threes, but he could also attack the rim with ferocity.
I mean, if Badley's free throws are going in and you need a guy to get to the bucket, run through him.
I seriously think, maybe not this year, but next year or the year after, Henry, I could see him being one of our better, you know, three, four, five players.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I've liked the way he played, and I mean, obviously defense has to continue to be good. I mean, two rebounds a game in, how many minutes is he averaging? Probably about 8 to 9?
I think more than that. Probably close to like 10 to 12. But anyway, I agree with you. He needs to rebound the ball better. That brings us to our next player I want to talk about, Nate Fowler. I don't know what to make of Nate Fowler this year. He's averaging, you know, 18 minutes a game, 4.6 points, 2.2 rebounds. Last season, he was averaging 12 minutes a game and pretty much the exact same stats. You'd expect a guy to get more minutes, would be getting more points, and he's not. And my question for you, Brendan, is where do you play Nate Fowler? Do you want him kind of picking and popping and going outside the three-point line to shoot, or do you want him playing down low in the post? Because we're kind of not getting a defined role for him. What do you think?
I think the biggest goal for any team should be to have a big man that can shoot. I mean, that can add a whole different type of game to your offense. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. Think of Andrew Smith when he was here in that final year playing for Brad Stevens. Like, he can go out and make a three from top of the key at any time. But the thing is, when you have a team that has two guys that are 6'11", him and Brunk, I mean, Weidman's 6'8", you can't risk doing that because you might you know, Fowler, the shot's not going in. And if you have two guys that are 6'11" and Joey Brunk, a guy that has been pretty inconsistent, you got to play Fowler down low.
Well, here's my question then. If you play him down low, he is 6'11", 2.2 rebounds a game. If you're going to play him down low, you have to rebound more. Otherwise, I say stick him out there and let him shoot threes, which he's only shot, you know, he hasn't attempted a three in 5 out of the 9 games we've played this year. Like, you think he's in there to shoot, but he's not really doing that, and he's also not rebounding at a high rate. I'm just not sure what his role is.
The thing is, this is the time to go in and fight hard for rebounds. You got a lot of cupcake games coming up.
That's true.
Western Illinois.
That's right.
Oh, my God, the Leathernecks. Anyway, this is the time to do that and test him under the rim. LaValle's got to go tell Nate, hey, you got some cupcake games coming up, and then after that, your first two Big East games are Villanova and Xavier. Get under the rim and start fighting for boards.
I like that. I like that aggressiveness from him. I think that would be good for him. Last guy we got to talk about. You mentioned the big cat, Tyler Weidman. Mm-hmm. 10.4 points, 5 rebounds, 70% from the field. Career high he is shooting. Very impressive. One bad thing, I've never seen a big man turn the ball over that much. He's averaging 2 turnovers a game, which is tough to do in only 20 minutes per game, which is the thing we're going to get to in a minute. But what have you seen out of Big Cat this year?
It's been a little weird, hasn't it? I mean, you saw Holtman playing Weidman pretty much the entire game. I mean, mm-hmm. You saw very little of Nate Fowler, none of Joey Brunk last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he had the red shirt, but at first he was playing. He didn't see any of them.
Quick, he did get the red shirt last night. I wanted to mention that. Sorry to interrupt you.
But yeah, it's just weird. I don't know if LaValle is having trouble deciding what center he wants on the floor at a specific time, or if he's doing a little too much. I think he might be playing too much of, you know, matchup with his centers. I think he's just got to let the big cat roll.
I would agree with you. If you look at Weidman's per 40-minute numbers, so if he played 40 minutes, this would be his stats. They are monstrosities. 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. Again, he's playing half a game right now, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and averaging 10 and 5. If you get him in there for a full game, I feel like he'd be a very dominant big man down low. Maybe not score 20 points, but he could grab you 10 rebounds, and he could defend the rim.
Do you remember Ed Cooley last year called him one of the most underrated players in the Big East?
I agree with Ed Cooley. Yeah. I think he really is. But you kind of nailed it on the head. I like what you said, is that LaValle is kind of trying to figure out what big man he wants to use. We see Joey Brunk get mixed in there every now and then. But who do you go with? We mentioned, I feel like Weidman's got to be the guy to go to. But Brunk, for me, is a guy I feel like he's earned some minutes.
I think he certainly earned a couple more minutes than Nate.
Yes. Nate's had given us nothing.
Nothing. If Weidman's your senior leader, he's been the guy that has been through a hell of a lot. He got recruited by Brandon Miller, was coached
by Chris Holtman.
Under Chris Holtman, and now in LaValle Jordan. He's been through a lot here in 4 years at this university. And, I mean, obviously he's going to start. But again, by the there's a lot to figure. What's the first Big East game?
I think it's this January 2nd.
Okay, you got less than a month to figure out a solid rotation. There's no set rotation right now.
Oh, you read my mind, because that's kind of what I wanted to go into, is that some of the substitutions and packages we're running, I question a little bit. Like, I like the idea of getting Christian David in some more, some Brunk in some more. When LaValle subs them in, they maybe go in for like a minute
even
30.
Even less than a minute sometimes.
They make one mistake and they get pulled out. Yeah. This is the time of the year where you put them in and you need to let them make mistakes. You need to let them grow and gain confidence. I can only imagine Christian David's mental state right now, where he's getting pulled out of the game after one mistake. Like, you got to let a guy get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you run into Villanova, and I mean, you're playing whatever rotation this is, ain't gonna be pretty.
I agree. I think that's an issue right now. Brendan, we've got a couple minutes left. Anything on the docket that we should be looking forward to? Anything that you've noticed in the Bulldogs?
Here's my thing. You've been here a lot longer than me. Is there a team, a Butler team from your college days, that you would compare this team to?
That is a great question.
Because I think it's when you were a freshman, they went to the Final Four.
They
right?
did, yeah.
Your sophomore year, they didn't even make the tournament.
No,
is that right?
They made the CBI.
That's something I've been wanting to ask you. Now that they've won a couple games, I was going to ask you this after the Texas game, but it got lost in translation. Does this team have any remnants of that CBI team?
It has, honestly. God, I'm going to get so much hate for this.
No,
it reminds me more of the team of Brandon Miller's first year, mm-hmm. where you played well in non-conference, which
that team only lost one game in non-conference, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and then kind of just fell apart in the Big East. I don't want to say we're going to fall apart in the Big East, but it's one of those things where
roles were undefined.
We had some issues with, you know, consistency with Brandon Miller's year. I don't want to be like pessimistic, but it kind of has me thinking like that. I think we'll be better than that season.
Yeah,
but it definitely doesn't remind me of like the Final Four teams.
But I mean, the thing with Brandon Miller's team was that one of your guys off the bench was Elliot Campen.
He didn't play.
He was a guy off the bench, though.
Brendan, I bet you he played a total of 22 minutes
that
year.
He was on the roster. I mean, this roster's a heck of a lot better, but I just wanted to get your perspective just of, you know, this is a team that confuses me.
Uh-huh.
I never felt this way about a Chris Holtmann team.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, new coach, new system and whatnot, but like, I'm a little...
I think you have a right to be
queasy.
A little worried. No, so as am I. A lot of Butler people I talk to agree that it's one of those things you don't know yet, where you're are we good, are we not? It's one of those things, I hate to say it, we're going to have to wait and see.
That's why I think that Purdue game's so big.
We will have to come back and kind of break down. That's going to be like the mid-season finale of the Hoopcast, so we'll break that down. Mm. Brendan, this was a good episode. I was pretty happy with it, but
well done.
I believe it's time to go, and we can't end the show without saying, you sucks. Go Dogs!
Go Dogs!